KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. If you want to see what the real Detroit looks like and not Four Brothers, which is sort of kind of Detroit, or these places where Detroit is full of junkies. In fact, in the first episode, in the pilot episode of the great new show Detroit is on Comedy Central, there's a shot in a little park near the Ambassador Bridge. This has always been one of my favorite places to go. And I'm glad this shot's in there. And also it has in something in the show we should have seen years ago, the scene of a crime with a better made potato chips bag in it. The stars and creators of the show, Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson. First, guys, thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having us.
And what's so much fun about the show, and it's a show about guys with sort of a failing ad agency or an agency with ambitions, is that it's got what I think was being like a sort of a chin tilted up attitude. I mean, these guys are just incredible optimists. Mm-hmm. And was that always the conception of the show for you guys?
Yeah, well, the conception of the show was that we wanted to show our real-life friendship, because mm-hmm. Tim and I are honest-to-God best friends.
Yeah.
And we wanted to show
Did you meet at Second City? Because you told me that's where you were.
We met at Second City in Detroit.
Yeah,
the old Second City downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, we always went to do a show together since those days, and we worked together at Second City. Mm-hmm. Then we went off to do our own things. Like, Tim went to New York, I moved to L.A. But we wanted to, like, do something together and bring it back to Detroit, and that was the main thing. Like, it had to be about us and had to be about the city.
But there's also, and for people who don't know Detroit, especially like about 20 years or so ago, there's a special kind of sub-mediocrity in advertising in Detroit.
Yeah,
Waterbed Gallery and all those kinds of things. You kind of go, they spent money making these things? And you think local commercials in L.A., I guess there was a Cal Worthington who was a famous auto dealer here who had these sort of secondary commercials, but they were ironic. Mm-hmm. The commercials in Detroit had no irony in them whatsoever.
Trying to sell their product.
Yeah, just full of heart. Some of them full of a little desperation.
Yeah. And some of them? Which
I don't want to put anybody on blast.
Which of them were not? And what was so much fun about those spots, too, is the later it got, the more of them you saw.
Yeah.
So between like about 1 in the morning and 5 in the morning.
Yeah. Channel 50 was – Channel 50 and 20 were my spots where I was like,
Well, Channel 20, which is for those – it was a UHF station that was sort of – how best to put this? Sub-WB. Not even CW.
No.
Sub-WB.
Yeah,
Sub-WB.
Yeah.
And the commercials that came out of there were just kind of mind-blowing.
It really was. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get a chance to, by the way, ever watch Channel 62 when it was going?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Punch 62?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Sam and I always sing the TV 50 one because we'd get home from school and you'd watch TV 50.
TV 50,
a place for kids.
It's our favorite.
Well, the local commercials that came out of there are basically the kinds of commercials. And there are a bunch of agencies like Robert Solomon and all these agencies out of Detroit that, that did a lot of these spots. And what was it? What were some of these spots you guys really sort of first, as when you first met, you was just connected, just talking about some of these commercials?
Yeah. I feel like the one that like kind of bonded us first on it is one of the most bizarre, which we touch on in the show, which is Dietrich Furs.
Dietrich Furs.
Dietrich Furs.
From the Dietrich family.
Oh, Dietrich first.
You have like in the later episode of the Detroit Optometrics episode spot.
DOC.
DOG in yours.
Yes.
DOG.
Yeah. Some of these we have to change a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of sexy specs, it's hunky specs.
Hunky specs.
I'm already tearing up here. It's The Treatment. We're talking too much about Detroit with my guests, the stars and creators of Detroiters. Sam and Tim, you guys, first of all, you're talking about the Dietrich Furs spots, which what the first frame would be really kind of lush looking, soft focus.
Yes.
You think you're going to see something, then you kind of wait for the song to come up.
Yep.
Yep.
And then until they say, you have no idea what it's for. And then they're like, Dietrich Furs, like, oh, yeah, I guess they are wearing furs.
Yes, yeah.
But there's also a lot of other stuff going on.
They're on a mountain.
They're skiing.
They all look like basically trailers for like softcore porn movies.
Totally.
Exactly.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the haunting love theme from Dietrich Furs come with as a tag at the end. You go, okay. And there's like running the character, recurring a regular character who fancies herself to be a filmmaker who makes the bad version of some of these spots.
Yes.
And one of my favorites is what she does for what looks like your version of the Water Bear Gallery spots.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much of it away, but her take on this, when she turns into almost her version of that Mr. Plow commercial from The Simpsons.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, the Barney one.
The Barney one.
Yeah. Yeah, where a guy, just a man revealing himself a little bit too much.
The only thing that was missing was somebody going, what the hell was that? But tell me, because one of the things that's really great about the show is, I think, what I really like about it, I should say, and I think for people who don't know Detroit, is there's so many great locations that you guys use. That mm-hmm. It's clear mm-hmm. that you know the city. You want to give people a look at the city that they hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so many places that we insisted on showing in the city. Like, there's one episode we shoot in the DIA.
That's the Detroit Institute of Arts, which people don't know.
Yeah. People don't know, yes, the Detroit yeah. Institute of Arts.
Which the NPR listeners will know because they almost sold off all their art a couple years ago.
Yeah, we shot in there, just this scene where Sam kind of goes, he freaks out a little bit and screams.
Did you shoot in front of the mural?
Right in yep. front of the mural. This scene takes place right in front of the Diego Rivera.
There's even a cut to a reaction shot of one of the auto workers.
This disapproving look to what I'm saying.
There's a couple reaction shots, and you cut to the mural reaction shot of an auto worker.
As clearly as guys who are media junkies like me, you must have... Part of this, you guys, must have been you wanted to show Detroit that you just hadn't seen before, because so much of Detroit is either dire or
right.
shot at night, or mm-hmm. you have no idea that a lot of the city is really beautiful.
Yeah, yep,
exactly. Like, we wanted to really show a different aspect than like this bleak, burnt-out building, you know, mm-hmm. a version of Detroit that is the only narrative that's ever shown of the city.
I mean, we've only really two shows we've had there was Detroit 187 and Long Way Home, which were like yeah. prime
oh God,
shows.
Detroit 187, oh my God.
yeah. And they're like focusing on crime and stuff like that. Well, this is a show that's about ad men.
It's about ad men. It's yeah. about just people who love the city, and it just yeah. shows that positive light which exists. I'm not saying that like there aren't burnt-out buildings in Detroit.
There were still a couple left.
There's still a couple there. But that's not every building, you know.
So let me ask you, Tim, because obviously there is an attitude that you guys want to portray, that basically mm-hmm. that an attitude of not giving up,
mm-hmm.
which really, to me, feels like what the city's about.
Absolutely.
Even under the worst circumstances, Detroit's been under its share for the last decade,
yeah.
century. Mm-hmm. People don't give up there, and that's the one thing we never see in things about Detroit, do we?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it's like, and that's, you know, the characters have the same feeling we have and the same feeling that people in the, you know, the city currently have. It's just like, yeah, just not, no matter how many times you get pushed down, no matter how many times someone says something to you, you get back up and you keep going.
Yeah, exactly. That's that indomitable Detroit will
yeah.
and spirit which we wanted to show on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We should say it's the treatment we're talking about, the great new show on Comedy Central, Detroit, is with its stars. And I think one of the things I like about the show, too, is that you haven't yet started to, like, play up to that hipster culture that's now taking over the city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it still feels like Detroit that belongs to Detroiters rather than people who come from other places.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's the Detroit we grew up with. So, right. like, to see the new thing that's happening there, this gentrification stuff, it's mind-boggling. You like to see all these places, and you're conflicted because some of it's you're like, oh, this is awesome. I love that this is now this, but then it's also like sometimes it's unrecognizable.
Right, it changes the city's identity, you know, maybe. But like, it's also good for like business is good for the city.
Yeah,
you know, so it's a
it's complicated.
It's
complicated.
Sure, because you feel you kind of lost the sense what the city is. I mean, it feels like in some ways they're trying to turn downtown Detroit into Williamsburg.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah, and what's important, I feel like, is that Detroit keeps its identity. Its identity is the greatest thing about it, and to keep that, I feel like, and that realness, and that's the only thing I worry about when you see all those new things coming in.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But I think it is important that things do go in.
Sure.
You know, like to maintain just the idea of the city, what the city was. Everything evolves.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, but I think it's important to with these new things that come in that are important come in. Business generates people.
Mm-hmm.
That it still maintains that history and stays
that's right.
what Detroit that's right. is. It's complicated.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. I just didn't go to college.
I barely did.
Wait, I thought you went to Wayne State.
I went to Wayne State, but
Sam went to college.
I left to work at Second City.
Oh, you didn't finish?
I didn't finish.
Were you in the theater program at
Winston? I was in the theater program. I sure was.
But you got out to go make a living, I guess.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow, because I guess I just thought, too, because it has a – what it feels like you're trying to do with the show is sort of create this sense that feels to me a bit like Second City and like theater is a sense of regulars who – it feels like, kind of like a repertory house in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We have all sorts of people that keep coming back, and that actually grows as the season goes on. We include more, and then they keep coming back. And
yeah, I was trying to build that Simpsons world of characters who, like, flesh out this world of Detroiters with, like, Detroiters.
You might see a guy in the first episode, like the guy who's taping the microphone when we first start the commercial. That's his only shot in the pilot, but then he becomes a bigger part of the show as the season goes on.
We see him like ineptly loading equipment into the back of a car at one point. But I guess I was mentioning this too, and that feels kind of unique to me in the effect of a comedy show to have to create this sense of place and these regulars. It really did feel to me like it's almost a theater conception at its heart.
I mean, we come from Second City, Detroit, so it's like I'm sure a lot of that is like still in us.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, and from a theater conception, like the idea of like you have these pieces that you don't want to just like abandon them because like they're real, and you know we try and breathe like life and heart into them. That like just to use them and discard them so easily doesn't feel it feels like a waste of that talent, that person, and that character that you've introduced.
I guess I was thinking, too, that gives you a chance also to use a lot of local talent because you've got some big names who've come in to do the show, obviously, including a few other Detroiters such as Keegan Michael Key and non-Detroiter Malcolm Jamal Warner, but we won't hold that against him. But also it gives you a chance to really use the talent that's there, which people tend to also not do when they make projects in Detroit as well.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a huge thing for us because – obviously, we came up in that same scene, and when we were coming up, we would have loved if something like this would have come and been like, "Hey, can we
be in this show?
Can we be in this show?" So that was really important, and we also still have tons of friends who we came up with doing comedy who are in acting who are still there that we were able to be like, "Hey, come do this part in the show."
Yeah, exactly, like people you can trust to. To, you know,
absolutely, yeah.
Nail a bit.
100% confidence, and you can then say, hey, this person can do it. We started with this person.
So who are some of those people, for example, who we see in the cast?
Like Quentin Hicks.
Yeah, Quentin Hicks, Sean Hanlon.
Sean Hanlon.
Who does Quentin play?
Quentin plays the
He's in a couple episodes.
He's in a couple episodes. There's an episode where he is a karaoke DJ.
Yeah.
And then at the bar that we go to. And he's also a bartender at that same bar.
At the same bar,
different episode.
Sean Hanlon is – these are all Second City Detroit guys. He plays a Red Wings fan, a really nasally Red Wings fan.
With Jen Nashan, who's also a Red Wings fan, who's also another Second City Detroit friend of ours.
Yeah.
Is that what – you just thought that's a way really to give it a local flavor and get people who also know what Detroit is and they're not trying to pretend to be Detroiters, but they also have that basically in their bones.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So it's authentic. And also, like, it's win-win for us because we get to work with our friends who don't get as many opportunities.
Yeah.
And work with friends that we trust and also have people who have a lifetime of research on the role of Detroiter.
They automatically, when you give Sean Hanlon a script and says, hey, you're a nasally annoying Red Wings fan, he doesn't have to be like, well, what's the joke here? He's like, oh, yeah.
It's like, perfect.
I know what you're talking about. And he keeps saying, like, Shelby Township.
Exactly. He can add bits
to
it.
Gotta get back to Shelby Township.
Hey, DeQuinder. John R.
always saying street names.
Always saying street names.
Buddy of mine has got a body shop there in John R.
Oh, yeah? Is it by 9 Mile?
This is a little inside, so we'll take a break and sort of de-Detroit for a little bit. I'm here with the creators and the stars of Detroiters, Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson. I'm laughing too much. It's the treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking about Detroit and Detroiters, a new show on Comedy Central that stars and co-creators Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson. And one of the things I was saying, too, is that there are so many shots that really sort of give us a sense of the city, but you're not selling it too hard. There's a shot in an episode where you're laying on the grass and the Belle Isle fountain is behind you. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just about the kind of thing that people generally, when they come to Detroit, they kind of linger on that fountain too much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you know any Detroit movie, oh, there's a Belle Isle shot.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But you don't oversell. It's just in the background. And you're actually there on that grass, which people tend to do at that park.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. We also want to we want to show things that people have seen before, and just and we also want to show things that people hadn't seen before.
But let's talk about that shot I was talking about in the pilot, that Ambassador Bridge shot. Which
right.
I've been in that little area right. over there where there's a bunch of trucks, but there's a bunch yeah. of trucking companies over there, so I know that very well.
Yep.
And I've always wondered why nobody's ever used that in anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
because like if you're from Detroit, like the bridge is so iconic. You know,
yeah.
it's especially if you're like as a 19-year-old. That's your way to get over to Canada.
Yeah, yeah, that's when you go to get some
and
beers.
Start drinking some beers for your first 21st birthday.
That's what I say. In Detroit and in Metro Detroit, you have two 21st birthdays.
Exactly.
Your 19th birthday and your 21st birthday.
Exactly. Just going over the winter via bridge or tunnel.
Let's not talk about the strip club. So anyway, I think too, what's again, you guys were talking in the first half about just connecting, but your comedy really is about optimism, and even mm-hmm. from what I've seen of you Sam, you've often played these characters who really kind of blindly rush into things, kind of eyes wide open but can't quite see because right. you're determined to sort of paint this rosy picture of the world. Mm-hmm. And is that something that connected you guys right away? You both kind of have that optimistic take on the world?
For sure. We really do. And even when we have pessimism,
yeah.
It's still like optimistic,
you yeah,
know.
Sure,
it's still like,
yeah.
oh, this sucks. But yeah. It could be better. You
yeah.
know?
But that's in the show too, because whenever one of you is down, the other basically lifts him back up.
That's real life.
That's yeah, exactly.
We tried to like try to show our real friendship as much as we could, and that's a real thing of our relationship. If one of us is down, the other one always tries to lift the other one up. And
exactly. If one of us is spinning out
yeah.
with some sort of self-doubt or some sort of weird thing, yeah. the other one is there just to be like, hey. No,
it's usually right. Sam picking me up.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair. But then and then sometimes I'll absorb. So like I'll hang up the phone with him after like talking him off the ledge. And then yeah. I'll be like on a ledge myself like, well, but maybe
why did I talk
true.
To that?
Why did I say that? Oh, no. And then like next day I'll be like, Tim, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like,
and yeah.
And he's had time to like chill. And
no,
like,
no, I actually have thought about it. It's all right.
Is it? Okay.
How'd you end up deciding on making these guys admin? I mean, even given the fact that you were obsessed with the kind of, again, bewilderingly like mm-hmm. subpar advertising that's
right.
specific to Detroit.
Right.
Why'd you decide to make them admin instead of making them guys who were like working in a comedy troupe or doing any other number of things that you guys actually do?
I think there's a little bit more accessibility to it. No,
right.
And, you know, a little bit more, I want to say, like, not that, like, writing and advertising is blue collar.
Right.
But it's a kind of a blue collar take on it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a really kind of a, like, a workaday take. It's basically, it's not the kind of wearing suits sophistication that we tend to think of in
right.
agencies that we see in movies and TV shows, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. And so we want to, like, so like, there's a great parallel between, like, comedy writing, like writing sketch and write TV, to, like, how we write the commercials on the show.
Right.
Where it's like, you know, you pitch your ideas, you pull an all-nighter.
Yeah,
and then you write this thing and you create it. So, like, instead of having it be, like, sketches, we're like, well, what if these sketches were these commercials,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, there's a nice parallel that you can draw from your career experience and also the, you know, rejection and spinning out when
exactly.
you pitch something and it doesn't go over well, and that rejection and how you deal with that, which is first probably pettiness, where you're like, well, they're wrong.
They're wrong. My idea's great.
Yeah, yeah. And then that spins into just a little more self-reflection and being like, maybe the idea kind of sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Where you double down and like, well, my idea was great.
Yeah,
here
yeah.
we go.
Yeah.
Well, that's the interesting thing about these guys too, Sam and Tim, who mm-hmm. play on the show, are these guys who we're not quite sure if they know what a good idea is.
Right.
Right. Because like, yeah, like the idea is like, you on the show, like we'll pitch something and it's like clearly awful, and there'll be like a beat and like, I think that's the one.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like there is one, I don't want to give too much away, but there's one in the pilot that's a bad commercial with a good tag. You can't, yeah. If they could just like work backwards, but it's almost like you guys are enablers of each other's like worst.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. They have yeah. the same level of bad ideas.
Exactly. And so it's just like an echo chamber.
Yeah. Yeah. They might have one good idea, but it's surrounded by a bunch of crap.
Exactly. Like it gets buried in the garbage.
Yeah.
I'm guessing then, Tim, you knew Jason Sudeikis, who's an EP on the show
yeah.
and a recurring character from your days at SNL.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I knew him at Second City first. And then I got hired at SNL. And my time at SNL, he was so good to me. And he didn't have to. It was his last season there. And it was my first season there. And he could have just been a guy who just dismissed me and didn't pay much attention to me. But he went out of his way to, like, help me. He'd call me in, tell me certain things to write for and how to do this. He just went out of his way to look out for me for reasons I don't know.
So material on the show, which is the hardest thing to do.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, he just mm-hmm. – he would even go into – I'd write something and it wouldn't get picked, and he would even go into Lauren's office and be like, I think you should do this. I think you should try this, which he had no reason to advocate for me. Yeah. And the fact that he did was awesome.
And Sam, did you guys just sort of say, well, we've had this thing that's kind of been – germinating for a while we want to do, or how this whole pitch come into play?
Well, Jason would come back and see us at Second City when we were performing at Second City together, and he'd come and play the sets, and we became like fast friends mm-hmm. there. And so he was like, when working with Tim, he was like, well, you guys should do a show together. And like, he said it. Was because like we were living in New York and I was living in LA, so the idea of it was like, that'd be fun, but it's all like pipe dream kind of things. Like, wouldn't it be fun to do this?
Right.
And Jason's like, why don't you do this and I'll produce it? You know, and
yeah.
So it was off to the races.
Yeah,
because I told you before we sat down when I saw him a few months ago. He said these guys have such great energy, and it's almost like you guys, your energy sort of sucks people in. Like there's an episode that I don't want to give too much away about, where somebody who's kind of in your world sort of takes over the shop.
Yeah, yeah. That's yes. Comedian CP.
Yeah.
Who's also from Detroit and a writer on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had CP come in who wrote on episodes, and he just like he has such a unique style of comedy that's his own, and it's so funny.
And also we had Nancy Hayden,
oh, yeah.
who's a friend of ours from the Detroit scene. Who we
won the first Second City Detroit cast.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She was a writer too, yeah.
And is she an actor on the show as well? Or?
No, she doesn't come on the
not,
show.
Not this season, at least.
Well, we're talking about the second season now of Detroiters.
That's hopeful thinking. That's wishing.
That's crossing my fingers. That's where I am.
That's that optimism we're talking about.
That's right. It's the Detroit delusion with the stars and creators of Detroiters, Sam Richardson and Tim Robertson. Oh, tell me a bit, if you will, what the pitch was when you guys went in to talk to Comedy Central about what you said the show was going to be.
We just pitched it as basically like bottom rung ad men who are just trying to make their name in Detroit. And we definitely in the pitch showed some like old commercials.
Did you show some of the commercials?
Yeah, exactly.
What did you show?
We showed Dietrich Furs.
Yeah.
We showed Dietrich Furs for sure. We showed...
Did we end up showing DOC?
I think we showed DOC. Yeah. And I think maybe we showed like, ABC Warehouse. Bargains and bargains and bargains and bargains and bargains and bargains and bargains galore.
Bargains and bargains and bargains and bargains and bargains and bargains.
No Mel Farr commercials? Did you show him a Mel Farr commercial?
Did we show a Mel Farr commercial?
No.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, we do a Mel Farr.
You have to tell for the people who don't know, and I'm sure, because probably almost nobody else here is from Detroit, what that was. Mel Farr was a retired Detroit Lion
mm-hmm.
who had a car dealership. And I'll leave it to you guys to paint the rest of the scene.
He made himself and his commercials into this superhero character,
Mel Farr superstar. He'd wear a light brown suit,
and a cape,
and a big red cape,
mm-hmm.
and he'd fly,
in
the commercials,
And when at the end of the commercial when he turned it into animation, I was always like, whoa,
that's so real.
Somebody's got some money,
exactly. It's like this drum thing. We're like, this is high budget. This is big stuff.
Mel Farr to the rescue.
Mel Farr to the rescue.
Did you guys, for doing your research, meet with some of the agencies? Because I'm wondering if a lot of these spots were kind of done in-house by these companies, because I'm assuming that they did them themselves and nobody could tell them what to do. Or were there actual agencies in Detroit that did some of these?
Well, our crew, because the crew are all Detroiters, and a lot of them shot on these commercials.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in, you know, Detroit TV for that long that they worked, and one of them worked on Dietrich Furs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this, that direct access
mm-hmm.
to like the history of these commercials was like right there on set.
Makeup, I think, did makeup for Richard Golden,
uh-huh.
the sexy specs guy.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is a dream come true for me. I've waited 21 years of doing this show to have somebody could come in from Detroit. Now I've got two people, the stars and the co-creators of the show, Detroiters on Comedy Central, Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson. I think, though, what I was asking, because I'm assuming a lot of those spots were done by sort of in-house creative, if you pardon the expression, rather than going to ad agencies, because they all had a very specific look.
Yeah.
Right. Like the Detroit Optometric Center's looked, they were always too bright. So you couldn't miss any of the glasses, and you realize nobody told them that the glasses are all shining too much in the backgrounds of the shot, so you couldn't actually look at Richard Golden in the shot, where there's always this weird, again, soft core porn, soft focus in the Deep Fur ads. So you're like, is that a mountain, or is there a picture of a mountain, or what's behind them?
I'm trying to figure out where they shot that. Yeah, I have no clue.
Like, is it Pine Knob? Holly, Michigan, or maybe it's Pine Knob?
Yeah.
Of course, but I mean, to just so that you are so faithful and that you make each of these commercials have that very kind of specific look must be something you give a lot of consideration to in the show too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of these, in the ones we were just taking exactly the, some of the problems or things we saw in those commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Just,
yeah. Maybe exaggerating him a little. Maybe playing him down.
Maybe playing him down. Maybe like just making it a little bit more accessible.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is the, like, I think if you I'm going to try and do, like, as the show airs, I'm going to try and, like, tweet out
the real
commercial.
That's a good
idea. So that people watching the show can, like, see what we drew inspiration from. Because, like, some of them, like, if you saw our Hunky Specs commercial, you'd be like, well, that's clearly made up. No one would do that. You're like, no, folks.
Yeah. No, that's actually, I hate to put it this way, the classy version.
That is.
The classy, exactly.
Of one of those things. Because it's, again, there's a kind of a pride in all those commercials, because almost all these spots we're talking about, the owners of the businesses would be in them, grinning into the camera, having no idea how bad they were being shot or how weird the commercial looked. And so at a certain point, it gets to be this kind of surrealism that no ad agency could create, because nobody could stand back there with a straight face and say, you can't shoot it like this.
Right.
We're lost.
That's
what with the Richard Golden one, the one we're actually parodying is like probably like the fourth one in his run. In that one, the premise is ever since I danced in my first commercial, everybody wants to see me dance.
Quote.
That's like the beginning of that commercial. So the one we're parodying is actually like number like 4 or 5 in the series of dancing eyeglasses commercials.
And in the commercial, everybody
he's
comes up.
He's going around Detroit.
And like, exactly.
And everybody sees him and is like, do it, Richard.
And he's like, he's kind of like over it in the commercial, but then he does it anyway. And like, he does this like shimmy move, one hand in the pocket and like a shimmy. And he's like, ooh. And everybody loves it.
Yeah, every time you try to get out, they pull me back in. guys, we're out of time. You've got to come back for the second season.
Thank you for having us.
No, because again, there's just a certain level of, I can only call it deadpan surrealism in all these commercials that you guys do such a great job of capturing. Because again, if you oversell it, it looks sketchy.
Right.
And these commercials weren't meant to be intentionally funny, except the ones that were supposed to be funny or really weird.
Right.
Yeah. We haven't even got in those. That's for your second season. And for you guys, please come back. Thanks so much for doing this.
Oh,
thank you so much for having us.
Please watch the show. I clearly do. The show is Detroiters on Comedy Central. It stars and co-creators Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson. But again, thanks again for doing this.
Thank you.
And let me thank J.C. Swada, who's back as our recording engineer. The show will be mixed by Kat Yara, is edited by Blake Vite, who's associate producer. I'm going to get some glasses for a far better deal. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.